Do you ever feel like you're spinning your wheels when it comes to marketing your business? Maybe you love the planning and the implementation, but you don't take time to do the analysis of looking back at what worked and didn't work. Or maybe you're trying to do too many things and you feel like you're not getting any traction in any of it. So many in our creative community feel this way, but it doesn't have to be this way. Today's guest is Lindsay Clements, the owner of Ellen Grace Marketing, a boutique marketing agency in Flagstaff, Arizona. She is passionate about helping business owners grow their sales through solid marketing strategies and effective planning. Lindsay has worked with a range of large retailers as well as some of the most innovative small product and service companies around. She's an expert in online marketing, content marketing, social media strategy and analytics, marketing strategy, and Google Analytics. On today's episode, we're talking about marketing strategies that Lindsay learned while working at large retailers like Nordstrom, Harry & David, and DFS. We're also talking about how small businesses like you and I can utilize similar tactics at our own scale. Lindsay shares why you need to have a simple marketing plan, why you need to know and understand your customers, and how to leverage data points when making marketing decisions for your business. If you are one of our Proof to Product Labs members, Lindsay will be joining us in July to lead us through her 90-day marketing roadmap training. She'll help us build out customized quarterly marketing plans that are tailored to our type of business so that we're saving time, gaining clarity, and improving our messaging across all marketing channels. And the best part? This framework is something that you'll be able to rinse and repeat each quarter so that you have a strong marketing roadmap year-round. If you are not already in our labs program, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to join the waitlist. And as a reminder, all past labs trainings are available as replays, and we have a really rich archive of trainings. But only labs members, active labs members, are able to attend our trainings live, and that's where they get to ask their questions and really engage with our speakers. So head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Lindsay, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to talk to you. You and I have been talking behind the scenes for several months now about the amazing things you're doing to lift up product-based business owners and make their marketing more strategic and just more simplified. And so I'm thrilled for you to not only be here on the podcast today, but you're also going to be coming and talking to our labs community soon. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's give everyone the lowdown. Tell us about your company. What do you do and who do you serve?
Sounds good. My name is Lindsay Clements, and I am the owner of Ellen Grace Marketing. We are a boutique marketing agency in Flagstaff, Arizona. And, you know, I'm just really excited about helping business owners grow, specifically product-based businesses. We see that I see more and more just with some of the tools out there and my background. But just working with business owners, helping them alleviate some of that overwhelm when it comes to their marketing, understanding what's working and what's not, and really just being strategic and simplifying their strategy so they can actually execute it and they can get all those other hats that they're wearing, you know, actually get to those other things that really matter at the end of the day too, right?
Like
the sourcing and the deliverer and customer service. I mean, it's endless when it comes to the product-based businesses. So it's just really fun to kind of help them take a step back and look at their marketing in a different way.
For sure. You have such a rich and fascinating background. What was it like working on marketing teams for large retailers like Nordstrom, Harry & David, DFS Galleria?
I thought my entire life I would always be in the corporate world. Like I was climbing that ladder. I was so excited. I mean, from, you know, in high school, I would work at Nordstrom's and I just loved it. And then in college and after college, I did both merchandising, distribution. You know, when I worked out of college, I lived in San Francisco and worked for DFS, which is and you know, owned by Louis Vuitton. So Sephora is under that, you know, all these different, anyways, like, you know, you just get exposed to so much. And fast forward to about 7 years ago when I was living in Phoenix working for Leslie Swimming Pool Supplies, you know, I got burnt out. And it was actually funny. I was talking to a high school friend who is a retail owner in Southern California. And just there was, what I realized is even though their business was small, at the time they had one retail location, they now have three, they had, you know, we're starting to get into wholesale and licensing, even though their business was so much smaller than, you know, this pool supply company that was national that I was working for, there was still a lot of the same, you know, struggles. But I, this light bulb went off because I realized like, gosh, like if we could take some of the things that the bigger corporate retailers do really well when it comes to the structure and the strategy and looking at the data, and then apply it, put that in the hands of these eager business owners who are, they're nimble, right? And they can be scrappy and they roll up their sleeves and they're, I mean, they'll put an email out tomorrow or even today if they have to, where, yep, you know, it would take like multiple signatures to send an email out in a big company. So anyways, I guess it really, having that background taught me all of the different pieces, but it also showed me, you know, a few strategies and tricks that if we could just get that in the hands of these amazing smaller businesses to see them blossom and bloom was really what, you know, was my catalyst to branching out and leaving that corporate world.
I love that. I have 12 years in the corporate world leading business development and marketing for lawyers of all things. And there are so many things that I look back on that I was, you know, able to, things that I learned in that corporate experience that I was able to leverage in my own product business. And even now in, you know, my coaching world, but, you know, let's talk about some specifics. Are there any specific examples you could share with us of something you learned or experienced with these larger retailers that you then have helped your clients on a smaller scale leverage?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of little things. I think the biggest one, and given, you know, my marketing background, is a marketing roadmap. And whether we were, I mean, there was, I remember one summer we had to open 34 stores like in the same weekend, and they were all across the, well, I mean, it kind of shifted based on the seasonality of the business, but you know, it was everything from like radio to newspapers, to social media, to email, to making sure merchandising had their product in the stores, to make sure signage was up, you know, we're working with real estate. And so there was all these moving parts. And so we come up with a roadmap, right? I mean, you had to have everything detailed and organized, and that's pretty robust. I mean, but you can take that same formula, that same methodology, and really simplify it for a business who, you know, maybe doesn't even have a retail location, but just is in e-com and, you know, maybe is doing wholesale. And how does, you know, what you're doing direct to consumer, how is that time up differently to what you're doing with retail locations when you're selling wholesale? And kind of, and it's, you know, it's so easy. I mean, we were talking before we start hit record, man, being moms, being business owners, being, you know, community contributors, like there's a lot of things in our heads that we're always doing. And so for me, like, unless it's on paper, unless it's documented, like I'm going to forget. I don't remember what I posted last week. I don't know what's coming up next. And actually, our mutual friend, Chelsea at Sugar Paper, I remember her saying to me once, she's like, you know what, I'll have the girls come in to have me proof something. And I'm like, but how does this fit into the bigger piece of it? Right? Like what did we do before and what's coming after? And that's really where the light bulb went off too. It's like, okay, we need to get this roadmap out there for people just to be able to understand what they're doing, you know? And so,
100%. Because I mean, if we break marketing down, it's the planning and ideation phase. And then there's the execution and implementation phase. And then we also need to do our reflection. I don't know, you probably use different terms in your roadmap, but like the reflection and analytics phase of, okay, well, let's look back at what worked, what didn't work. If we have any data points we can look at. And I think that having worked with thousands of people myself, I know that we've got some people that are obsessed with the planning part, but then fall weak in the execution, or we've got people that are awesome at planning and executing, but fall short when it comes to actually looking at whether the initiative was successful or not. And then there's people that look at all these steps in between and they are like, oh, this is too much. I'm out. Like, I'm just
totally.
Do you feel like you kind of see that in the people you work with as well?
Oh yeah, for sure. And And I love like how you broke that down into the planning and then the execution and then the analysis. And I think so often people jump right into the planning, but you actually want to start with the analysis. And it's, you know, maybe if you're brand new and you have, and actually, no, I take that back, because you still want to look at, well, what are other people doing? You can, there's enough out there to at least start somewhere when it looks, when it comes to looking at the data.
Well, because you can look at other people's data if you don't have your own. Exactly. And if you have your own, then you should be digging deep into yours. I fully agree with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with free tools, like whether it's SEO, whether it's social media, I mean, there's so many tools out there that you can get a peek under the covers of what other people are doing and really understand, you know, that aspect of it. But yeah, I think we all excel. And then seasonally too, like you may be going into a season where you're like, oh, this is so exciting to be planning, or I'm really excited about executing. And then the rest of it kind of falls to the wayside. So one thing though, I mean, when I think about big corporate retailers versus, you know, some of the smaller businesses, the one thing the smaller, well, I think smaller businesses have so much more ability, right, to be nimble, like we said, but they know their customers better, right? They really, really do. Because at some level, I mean, even when I was working for those bigger companies, like I never even talked to a customer, you know, or maybe my team would, or in customer service, depending on it, but like you were so very far removed from that, where now, like if, when you're a smaller business, you're packaging things up, you're getting returns, you're dealing with that, and using that to your benefit and applying that towards your business is just, I think it just gets me really excited. And that's why, you know, I've really found it fun.
Do you help people kind of hone in on who their ideal customer or their ideal client avatar is? Is that like part of what you do with people?
I mean, yes and no. I think we definitely identify that, you know, and I wouldn't say like I'm not a branding expert and I'm not going in and doing a bunch of that data mining. But yeah, for the most part, we're, you know, making sure who is our audience, what, and really what are their pain points at the end of the day, what are their pain points and where are they spending their time? How can we connect with them best? And so in that realm, yes, we're definitely honing in on that. And that's really the most important place to start, right? Is who is our audience. And I think too, because, you know, we always talk about the shiny object syndrome and you can see what other people are doing. You're like, oh, I have to be everywhere, be doing all these things. I mean, you did that great reel. I think it was just last week with the four cups, pouring the resources in these four cups. And if you look at that as four different social media platforms or four different, I think you use the example of different channels from licensing to wholesale to e-com to retail or whatever, you know.
I did, but it's applicable to so many things in business, right? Like we only have so much capacity. Carry on. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Yeah. And so I think I'm going to borrow that for the future. I will definitely give you credit. But, you know, I think you look at, if you are e-com, like, okay, you've got your website. Now you've got this email nurturing list, which I feel like is so underutilized today. Yep. Even still, I mean, the more mature the brand is, I just don't see them tapping into that the way that they can. And so, yeah, you've got email, you've got social, and then you've got all these other, I mean, there's so many endless cups that you can fill
There are. And, you know, going back to it, like the newer businesses, the people newer to the scene, those are the ones that are, I think some of their pain points are they're trying to be visible in too many places. So then they're trying to, you know, you mentioned social and email and all those different avenues. Well, if you even go into just social, that bucket, they're trying to go to their Instagram. They want to be on TikTok. They're focusing on Pinterest, you know, they may be doing some email, but I agree with you. It's a totally completely underutilized marketing stream or marketing channel that people need to be using. But I feel like when I talk to our community members that are younger in business, they feel like they're getting little to no traction, but it's because they're spreading themselves too thin across, you know, platforms or whatever it might be. And then if you look at seasoned companies who, as you said, are more mature and they likely have a team, they likely have processes and systems in place, they likely have proven sales and cash flow, you know, they can cast their marketing net a little bit wider because they have that infrastructure to support being visible in multiple places. Do you agree that the struggles are kind of different depending on different phases of business?
Absolutely. No, they're different. And I think, you know, to the latter of that, you know, the bigger you are, yes, you can show up in more places and be consistent because you have those resources and those tools available to you. But the downside of that is that, you know, where we talked about the layers, right? You're not getting a lot of that one-to-one. The person who's actually making the decisions of how they're packaging the product is not the person reading those DMs. And so to communicate that then becomes trickier. Right. Whereas when you have a smaller business, it's all right there. So yes, I mean, it is, you know, at every size of the business, you're going to run into that. And I think at the end of the day, you know, going back, you know, to this marketing roadmap and planning things out, it's like, simple is better. And that's, you know, I, at the end of the day, think about, I mean, even with, I mentioned sugar paper earlier, but like they're, what are those top SKUs that they cannot miss on, right? When I was at Leslie's Swimming Pool Supplies, if we did not put a bucket of Tabs in that email, like someone was getting fired because that was like our bread and butter. Now we, you know, jazz it up with like a sexy pool lounge or something, but you know, you really had to make sure that you weren't missing some of those key SKUs. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, that, you know, you feel, oh my gosh, I'm talking about this too much, but you're not, you know, and there's ways to talk about the same thing over and over again in different angles and have different calls to action. And so that's really what, you know, what I love to do is work with these smaller businesses to identify your goals too, right? I mean, we talked about all those different platforms and levers that you can pull, but at the end of the day, like, what are we trying to do? And let's look at the data and make sure that's happening. Because I see so often, not so much in business to consumer or, you know, product-based businesses, but they'll spend so much time on Instagram where their traffic is coming either from email or even like LinkedIn for more business to business type companies. There's just these, what you can look at in Google Analytics, things that are happening that they don't even realize. And it's like, okay, maybe if we just put a little more resources over here and dial it back over here, we'll be able to see, you know, be able to move the needle. So
totally. Similarly to what you're discussing, one of the exercises I do with my coaching clients, my one-on-one or my higher level coaching clients, is we dig deep into their analytics and look at their different revenue streams and say, okay, where is the money coming from? And then where is our energy and time going so that we can really, I call it time, heart, money, and impact. And we weigh everything we make decisions on based on those four things. And we do this with revenue streams. We do this with marketing that we're doing. And I'm not explaining this well, but my point is we look at every, like, let's talk revenue streams, then we'll come back to marketing. Revenue streams, I can say, okay, well, if 90% of your revenue is from wholesale and you're putting most of your time and energy there and it's easy peasy, you're feeling good about it, you're making a good impact, like, then let's push further into that. If another revenue stream is like difficult for you, but it's causing you a lot of anguish and like you're not really seeing any results or traction, it's not fitting your goals, let's pull it off the table or scale back on it. And the same is true for marketing. Wouldn't you say for the different social platforms or anything else that kind of looking at what your goals are, looking at what results you're getting thus far, and kind of adjusting your time, your energy, your like all the things around that?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it can be, it's sales, but it's also profitability too, right? Because there might be certain streams where you're like, gosh, I'm getting a ton of traffic here, but those people are not converting, right? So at the end of the day, it maybe makes sense to send another email out than to, you know, try to come up with some more reels for your Instagram page. Or, you know, I don't know, like, I'm just throwing out some examples. I think another layer to that, so you've got revenue streams, you've got marketing, you also have customer data, right? Like, who are your best customers? How do you get that second tier to look more like that first tier and be more loyal? And that's like one of the things I'll dive down into is like, okay, if we could get one more transaction from this huge group, you know, even if only 10% of them converted, like what a great targeted email to send. And I've done that before with businesses. I've done a case study and it's on my website, but Elise with Elise Gets Crafty, she's down in San Diego. She has a get to work book and it comes out seasonally. And she, all we did was look at who hadn't purchased and who had and gave them a coupon, you know, I mean, simple stuff, but like it takes you 10 minutes to run the data and to send something super targeted. So I'm a huge believer in like, yes, marketing is important and sending the loyalty email is marketing, but like sometimes that's all you got to do, you know, you don't need to do more. And so I like, it's just, my background is on that data and the loyalty marketing side. So I always kind of try to slip that in too with like, how can we, you know, just make sure that we're recognizing our best customers, but also trying to figure out how to get some of those, the, you know, the low hanging fruit to look more like them too.
I was just going to say the analytics, the data points that you're talking about, That is where the low-hanging fruit can easily be identified sometimes. And I will give this caveat here that, like, Lindsay, you and I think our brains work the same, and that we like the numbers, we like the analytics, we like thinking creatively. And I know some of our listeners struggle with that a little bit of like, well, how do I look? What do I have the numbers? I have the data. What do I look at? So if you were to pull out a couple of key things that you want them to look at in their analytics, what would you point them to first? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get asked this a lot, and I can simplify it, but I also want to say, before you even go down that route, like, what's a question that you want answered? And because I think, you know, there's so much and you can get overwhelmed with the data, but if you're like, if you can narrow it down to say, you know, is the effort that I'm putting into Instagram stories converting customers or something, you know, whatever that is. So now you have something to look at. Now you're able to see, okay, how much more time am I putting into, how many more stories did I create this month versus last month or versus last year, same time, right? You want to make sure that you're looking at comparing similar timeframes. Did how much activity happen, you know, engagement happened on those stories? Did how much traffic from Instagram came to my website? Once that traffic got to my website, you know, did they visit more pages? Did they spend more time? Did they click on the links? Did they fill out my form? You know, all these goals that you set. So I think, you know, to me, then you can dive down and say, okay, obviously I doubled the amount of effort I put into stories and my engagement, and I saw a direct result, like that worked. And so Let's do more of that. I mean, it really isn't like you have to, So I
you think don't have to have an advanced degree in data analysis or anything. I agree with you. I love your philosophy on honing in on one question you have and then digging deep into the answer. So I can give a personal example here. We wanted to put an effort on converting more of our podcast listeners to our email list because we write really great emails, not to plug myself here. We write really great emails that are value add, and we sell really great things, and we don't sell to you all the time either. So it's a lot of like nurture and then sell. Right. And, so we know that if people join our email list, they will likely at some point become a customer of ours. It may not be tomorrow, and that's okay. It may be a couple of years from now, and we're happy with that. But so we went in with the question of what can we do? How can we optimize what we're doing here to get more people onto our email list? And it was just asking that one singular question, then led us to analyze a bunch of different data. And it led us to make decisions of like, oh, maybe we change the show notes, or maybe we change how we're talking about the podcast on social and all these other things. Now, as I'm describing this, we also had to test a lot of different things and give ourselves space to see, okay, if we make this change, what will the results yield for that? So how are you working with people to look at that data point and make some changes? And then how long are you recommending people kind of let it roll to see what the effects will be?
Yeah. I mean, I think in some cases that you could see the effects pretty quickly, and others, you do want to give it time to breathe, because there's other external factors that happen. And also it really too depends on seasonality of the business and when you're doing it, because if you're going into high season, you're going to see naturally, you know, more than if you were kind of coming out of a season or you're in a lull point of time. So I've worked, you know, with different agencies and different timing of things in the past. For me, with our clients, we're on a monthly basis, we're looking at the data, but on a quarterly, that's where we get down below the surface level, because you just can't, if you're doing it on a monthly basis, you're already halfway through the next month by the time the decision makers come to the table. And now you've already planned for the next 4 to 6 weeks out. So for me, I feel like even with Sugar Paper, we would always do it on a quarterly basis. And I'd go out there to LA and I'd look back a quarter. We'd then look forward. I mean, we were like 6 months out, right? We're planning for Q4 in the middle of summer, but we're looking at all Q4 data from the prior years year over year. Yeah. And when it comes down to it, it's like, you know, again, what are those key items? What can't we miss on? What worked well last year? What do we need to do more of? And then diving into the different platforms and channels and things like that. So I don't know if I answered your question.
You absolutely did. And I like how you kind of talk about your roadmap in practice too. You know, you are joining us inside of Proof to Product Labs, my group coaching program, in July to help us build out our 90-day marketing roadmap. I have to tell you, our community is super excited about this. My team is so excited about this because we do quarterly planning as well, but it's always fun to see how other people structure things. So can you give everyone a little bit of an overview of what they will learn in this training that we're doing in labs?
Absolutely. Yes. The marketing roadmap is training is really to get you to take a step back out of your business just for a few minutes. I know it's so hard to do, and to really think about a period of time that's coming up in your business. And I think it's great timing. I think we even purposely did this in July because of retail, right? And the seasonality of that's in Q4. And so, you know, we could even specifically do it for Q4, but allowing you to say, okay, what are my big months coming up? What's going to happen? What happened last year? Am I happy with that? Do I want something different to happen? And if so, what am I going to do in order to make that happen? So I'm going to share a bunch of different roadmaps I've created in the past for other companies. Some are very detailed. I will say the sugar paper one's very detailed, but then others are very simple too, right? You can layer in SKUs. You can even layer in goals of how, you know, or podcast subscribers, right? Some of those things could be right there in this roadmap. So it's almost like a template for you to just really analyze your business. But then we get into all the different layers. So if you can visualize this across the top, you've got the 3 months, and then we break it down by week. And then along the left-hand side, that's where you have all your marketing levers. So maybe it's blog content, emails, podcast topics, social media, and anything else you're doing in your business. And it's really a great way to visualize how am I repurposing a lot of that content. So you're not reinventing the wheel all the time. And at the end of the day, it's going to save you time. Like, planning saves you time. It also gives you confidence because now you can see like what you're doing, and you can talk to suppliers, and you can talk to people because you planned it out. You know, like, it is like, it's a very great communication tool. You know, if you have a team of, even if it's a small team, now everyone's kind of beating to the same pulse. So, it's a fun,
I'm excited for this. I will also say, having a plan, one of the benefits to having a plan that we haven't touched on yet is that it also provides you with some guardrails. If you are the kind of person that has a ton of ideas and you're a quick action taker and you are nimble in your business, like we talked about, sometimes we want to start interjecting new ideas right away, and, you know, we'll push other things to the side. But if you have this 90-day plan, you know, that provides some guardrails against these like rogue ideas that we may or may not have. And, you know, sometimes we need that. Sometimes it's good to like take action quickly. Sometimes it's good to sit on that and like work it into the next quarter's plan.
Yeah. You were saying how the marketing roadmap creates those guardrails, and that's so true. And I think, now I will say this because I'm such a planner, and it sounds like you are too. And, you know, we're always, you know, sharing how to do that better. However, you also give yourself the flexibility to make changes too. And the whole, like, I love this, let it breathe. You know, you create a plan, you throw it up on the wall, you let it breathe, and then you go back and you're like, oh, maybe we can tweak this, or maybe this topic makes more sense, you know, in September than it does in August, because, you know, it's summertime and now back to school or whatever the seasonality is. So I think it's it also lets you make really great decisions because you already have the baseline there and you're not backed into a corner because of a timing crunch. It's
totally,
it's more of like, ooh, let me make this better. And so
exactly.
The other thing too, which you could almost reuse this marketing roadmap year over year. I mean, not to say it's going to change and there's going to be new shiny objects that come in and things that aren't working, you're going to tweak it. But at the end of the day, like, you know, you can leverage a lot of this content that you're creating because people forget and they don't, you know, and so I think that it also gives you the ability to get a little more organized and to not have to always feel like you're creating something brand new.
100%. I know that several of my clients get overwhelmed by the planning process sometimes or mapping things out. And one of the main reasons we wanted to have you come to labs was because this is a process that you can rinse and repeat. You're providing the structure and the framework for people to then tailor it to whatever their season of business or whatever their product line is doing. And I love that. So, you know, we're all about processes and systems, and we're saving ourselves the headache of having to recreate things. So thank you. We're really excited about that. I know you also have a free download that you want to share with our podcast audience. Can you tell us about that and where they can find it?
Yeah, definitely. On ellengracemarketing.com resources, I have a few different downloads there, but I don't have the link pulled up right now in front of me.
That's okay.
I will get that for you. It's a mini version of what I'll be sharing within the membership group, but it just kind of gives an overview to what a marketing roadmap is, kind of where to start. We talked about looking at the data and then how to just get yourself a little bit organized as you start to think about what period you want to just focus on getting all of those pieces in place. So yeah, it's fun. It's a video. So, and it comes with an Excel spreadsheet that's editable as well too. So you can kind of plug in some of that. So for some of you who are a little scared of Excel documents,
no,
it's a good tool.
That sounds fascinating. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. We'll make sure to include those links in the show notes too. Well, okay. Lindsay, what is coming up for you and Ellen Grace Marketing? Like, what do you have that you want to share with us or that you're working on?
Oh gosh. Yeah. You know, it's funny, like the seasonality of our own businesses, right? And I've been doing this now for 7 years. And we, so to give you a little bit of background, like 80% of our sales right now come from like full service clients. So we actually you talk about the planning, the execution, and then the analytics. And so we do a lot of execution and we use, you know, all the tools, and I have a team of independent contractors, and that's super fun. But the other 20% is the part I love, this marketing roadmap, the strategy, the analytics. And so we're really, you know, starting to refine what that is, because what we've seen in the past was, it's great to have a document that's pretty, that, you know, has your plan, but if you can't actually get momentum on it, then it's really just a waste, you know, of time. So our marketing roadmap now has different, three different levels where we'll actually work with the clients to get them some structure around Canva templates or around analytics, or dive in deeper to some of those pieces where they're like, I can't, you know, I need more support and help. So,
So
we have to check it out. That's on our resources page as well too, or our services page. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the struggles too, as these businesses are growing and they need to bring on additional support. I think sometimes they want to bring on contractors that can do like isolated projects like graphic design work or whatever, but it's really great to know that there's agencies like yours that can help kind of with the facilitation of all of it at different levels too, if they need full service or pieces of it. So,
and one of the things, like, I've always been, you know, when you get excited about something, you're like, I want a new website tomorrow. And, you know, it takes 3 or 4 months and, you know, you're like, wait, I would have done it differently. The marketing roadmap, I've kind of gotten it down to where every Thursday I launch that, or not, you know, mostly every Thursday. And then by the following Thursday, you have your customized plan in your hand. And if we're doing some of those other executional pieces, then it may be a second week. So it's quick, because I, you know, you understand, you're like, you want to move forward on this and you don't want to wait months and months. And so that's fun too, is really to be able to like, to move fast within the, you know, a business that wants it yesterday.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Oh yeah. So, I know we all want it done yesterday, right?
Yeah.
But you have to curb our expectations there. I know.
I know. So
awesome. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your website or follow you on social?
Yeah, thank you. My business name is Ellen Grace Marketing. It is actually named after my two daughters, whose middle names are Ellen and Grace. And so that was me kind of leaving the corporate world. Although you think I would have learned, because now I get called Ellen all the time. And when I worked for Leslie Swimming Pool Supplies, I got called Leslie. So it's So, and then, you know, Instagram is the one platform that I prioritize, and my handle is Ellen Grace Marketing over there, and LinkedIn as well too. So, I appreciate you having me on the show, and I'm really excited for July to be with your members and hope people connect, and please just DM me. It'd be great to connect.
Awesome. Lindsay, thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise with us here and also in our upcoming training. We really appreciate it. This was a really fun conversation, and I hope people learned a lot. So thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie.